This is the National Conversation with All Things Considered. I'm Ari Shapiro. Each night, we are here to answer your questions.
Hi, my name is Michelle.
My name is Sean.
Hi, my name is Nancy Owen Myers.
I'm a retiree.
I am a sole proprietor of a non-essential business.
I have a 27-year-old daughter.
I have a question.
I'd like to know,
will Americans have to pay taxes on the $1,200 or so that we will be receiving?
Would documented immigrants be able to get unemployment if they get laid off?
What financial resources are available for undocumented members of our communities?
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Tonight we have NPR journalists and outside experts here to offer solid facts and correct some of the misinformation that is floating around. Today we've got answers about how the virus spreads, the impact on the immigration system, and we'll spend time helping with some of the tough judgment calls that everybody has had to make. Send us your questions and tell us how you're getting through it at npr.org/nationalconversation. On Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, use the hashtag NPRConversation. Each night, we begin by answering the question, what happened today? Well, today, a massive Navy hospital ship, the USNS Comfort, arrived in New York Harbor. It has about 1,000 beds to treat patients who are not suffering from COVID-19. Governor Andrew Cuomo says his state needs even more help. He's asking healthcare workers from around the country to come to New York.
We're the ones who are hit now. That's today, but tomorrow it's going to be somewhere else. Whether it's Detroit, whether it's New Orleans, it will work its way across the country. And this is the time for us to help one another.
The federal government has greenlit a new, faster coronavirus test. It works on the same platform as the rapid tests for flu and strep throat. Brett Girois is Assistant Secretary for Health at HHS.
So literally put a swab, certain kind of swab, foam swab in your nose, put it in a plastic bag, give it in and drop it.
The company that produces the test says they can do up to 50,000 a day. In retail, Macy's, Kohl's, and The Gap all announced that they would furlough workers. Macy's says it will let go of nearly all the company's 130,000 workers. They will keep their health benefits through May. Around the world, more than 775,000 people are known to have the virus. The death toll in the U.S. has just crossed 3,000. Dr. Anthony Fauci estimates that between 1 and 200,000 Americans could die from this disease. President Trump said today the U.S. will remain shuttered for the next month.
Challenging times are ahead for the next 30 days, and this is a very vital 30 days. We're sort of putting it all on the line. This 30 days is so important because we have to get back.
In a moment, NPR science editor Maria Godoy will answer some of your questions about COVID-19. But first, NPR's chief economics correspondent Scott Horsley is here to explain some of what happened today and answer more of your questions about that congressional relief package. Hi, Scott.
Good to be with you, Ari.
Well, before the checks for this record-breaking $2 trillion relief package have even gone out, there's already talk of another stimulus. What's going on there?
That's right. We're just sorting through this $2 trillion. That's a lot of zeros. But already, Democratic House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is looking ahead to the next legislative response to the pandemic. Pelosi told reporters today she and her colleagues are beginning to put together ideas for a bill that could involve more support for healthcare providers, other workers who are on the front lines here, as well as state and local governments.
Well, listeners have so many questions still about this package that just passed late last week. This first one comes from Jessica in Indianapolis.
With the passage of this economic stimulus package, will Americans have to pay taxes on the $1,200 or so that we will be receiving?
That's a good question. How does that work? Is it taxable income?
That's an easy one, Jessica. No, you don't have to pay taxes. This direct payment is not subject to taxes.
Good news for Jessica and everyone else who's getting a $1,200 check. There's a question here about the payout having to do with children from Nancy in Oregon. Now, she says she claimed her three children on her tax returns last year.
Two of them are in college and a third is 18. We also pay for their support, so that's why we claim them. But the older two had wages and filed tax returns for 2019. I'd like to know, are we going to get any payout for those kids, either $500 for the 18-year-old or anything for the other two, or will they get their own checks?
How does that work, Scott?
No, I'm afraid they won't. Nancy and her husband will be eligible for $1,200 payments themselves, assuming they make less than $150,000 combined. If they make less than $198,000, they'd be eligible for somewhat smaller payments. But unfortunately, their offspring are not eligible. They're too old to get the $500 payments for children. You have to be under 17 to get that. And because they are claimed by their parents as dependents, they don't qualify for $1,200 adult payments of their own.
Huh. We actually get a lot of questions about children. This one from Jessica in Texas asks, will people who have children but make over $100,000 still get a $500 check?
Okay, so the cutoff for a couple is, again, $150,000.
Right, $75,000 each.
Each, yes. But if you're above that, it's actually $198,000 where you're completely out of it. Mm-hmm. If you're over that, you don't get the $500 check for your kids.
Okay, and one more question about kids. This one from Michelle in Cleveland, who has a question about her adult daughter.
I have a 27-year-old daughter who is on disability and does not need to pay taxes. I was wondering if in the stimulus bill, she will be able to get the $1,200 check to help her with extra expenses that she will incur while she's self-isolating to protect herself from the virus. Thank you.
Interesting question about somebody who is already on a social service support program like disability. How does that work, Scott?
That's right. So recipients of disability, whether it's SSI or SSDI, are eligible for the $1,200 payments as long as they don't make over $75,000. And as long as they're getting their disability payments through direct deposit, that means the federal government already has their bank account information. So even if they don't file a tax return, they shouldn't have to do anything extra to get that money. They should automatically get the direct deposit.
Huh. All right, let's move on from questions about children to questions about small businesses, because we certainly got a lot of those as well. This one comes from Melissa, who owns a small alterations and tailoring business in Helena, Montana. She wants to know more about how to get funds to keep her business afloat.
We don't take out any unemployment or social security for me. Our business is down 95% in March. We usually work a lot with proms and weddings, and those have all been canceled. So there's no way to make up that lost business. How do I get funding to cover my overhead, and if there's any funding to cover my own labor expenses? Thank you.
Scott, do you have any good news for Melissa?
Melissa might want to explore one of those Small Business Administration loans. The relief package does include $350 billion for new lending by the Small Business Administration, and the aim here is really to keep more small businesses afloat during this squeeze. The Treasury Secretary has said the government is working to get that money out the door quickly. He hopes to have a simple application available at banks around the country as early as this Friday. And a small business that keeps its employees on the payroll for at least 8 weeks may be eligible to have the loan forgiven. So in a way, it could be free tide-you-over money from the government.
All right. And some of those phone lines might be busy, so people should keep trying. NPR Scott Horsley, thanks a lot.
Good to be with you, Ari.
I also want to bring in NPR Science Editor Maria Godoy now to answer some of your COVID-19 questions. Hi there, Maria.
Hi, Ari.
The Trump administration said today the U.S. has tested 1 million samples for the coronavirus. President Trump says that's more than any other country. Can you compare the numbers for us?
So President Trump has repeatedly said this, that the U.S. has now conducted more than any other country. But experts point out that a more useful metric is actually how many tests you're running per capita. Hmm. And on that front, the U.S. still lags. There's those 1 million tests performed in the U.S., they translate to about one test for every 327 people in this country. But if you look at South Korea, they've run one test for every 130 people. So that's more than 2.5 times as many tests per capita as the U.S.
Interesting.
Now,
we
that
have a
said,
question.
Oh. The U.S.'s testing capability.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Go ahead.
There's a bit of a delay on the line.
I'm just going to say, our testing yeah. The U.S. testing capability has ramped up a lot, but we need more widespread testing, basically, to understand how pervasive this pandemic is in the U.S. and how we're going to contain it.
Marie, we've got a question here from Karen in Birmingham, Alabama, who asks, will the heat in a clothes dryer or dishwasher kill COVID-19? Will sunlight kill the disease? And if so, how long would an item need to be in the sunlight? What guidance can you offer?
Okay, so we know from other viruses that sunlight can be a good disinfectant, but at this point, with this particular coronavirus, we just don't know exactly how conditions like heat or sunlight can affect its survival times. As for fabrics, we don't yet have data on how long the coronavirus can survive on cloth, but we do know it can survive on cardboard for up to 24 hours and on non-porous surfaces like plastic and stainless steel for up to 3 days. And we know, and this is good news, that the coronavirus has a fragile structure. It's what scientists call WIMPY. And basically, it's because it has a lipid or fat envelope around it that holds the RNA in. And that's actually why soap and water is such a powerful tool against it, because soap is a detergent, and detergents are designed to break down grease. And fat is a grease. So basically, you can destroy the structure of the virus and inactivate it just by using soap and water. So if you are washing your clothes, the detergent and the warm water itself, plus that just physical agitation of the washer, they should inactivate the virus and wash it away.
All right. NPR Science Editor Maria Godoy, thank you for the insight.
Thank you, Ari.
And if you have questions we want to help, go to npr.org/national conversation. On social media, use the hashtag NPR Conversation.